When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan. Sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
If that line forms on the right, babe.
Yeah, the line is for all the Jet fans. Already giving up on the team.
Back in time.
McMonagle here with you. How are you? On this Tuesday morning, I got you all the way to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. You know how it works. 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. And yes, the Jets lose to the San Francisco 49ers 32-19. And everybody's ready to make declarative statements. And let me just say this. What we saw on Sunday from the New York Giants, I felt a hell of a lot more comfortable making declarative statements than I do after last night's game. So let's just talk about what we actually did learn. What we learned for sure, what we know for sure. Here's what we know for sure. The New York Jets, at the moment, are not ready to hang with the upper echelons of the NFL. That's what we learned. And dopes like me, and I admit, listen, I've been wrong before. Dopes like me who thought they would hang in this game. And I thought they had an opportunity to win this game. And the Jets plus 4.5 was one of my favorite picks of the whole week. Love the Jets. I've been all over the Jets. I've talked about the Jets going to the AFC Championship game. I thought they were going to hit the ground running. Well, what we have learned is they are not ready quite yet. And this defense that has been a given, right? We talk about the aging quarterback, and we talk about the offensive line and protecting him. And sure, you know, the pass rush with Haason Reddick, and we'll get to that, 888-808-1019, because it's going to be a talking point now after this game. But we've talked about a lot of different things. But we've also talked about the great defensive backfield. You know, this defense, although it's not the 85 Bears, which is laughable after last night, how I still think it's one of the better units in the league, and I think it's a top defense in the league, and they got absolutely embarrassed last night. And that's what we know for sure, that this run defense just didn't show up. And you know, checklist number one on the concerns of Jet fans has to be the head coach. The head coach is unproven. I don't know if he's a leader of men, all the stuff we've heard, on and on and on. Well, failed week one. Because I don't know if we expected him to win this game, but the defense is his, right? That's his baby. He's a defensive coordinator out of San Francisco, and the defense is his, and this defense wasn't ready to play. And yes, you find out a few minutes before the game or whenever you found out that McCaffrey wasn't playing and Jordan Mason was going to take over, and you expected, ooh, look at that. Look at the Jets getting every break, right? Trent Williams just made it to camp the other day. Ayuk barely just signing, and now McCaffrey's not playing? Wow. The Jets should absolutely trounce this team. Well, what you found out is that the San Francisco 49ers are better than we gave them credit for. And we talked about the 5-for-19 against the spread, you know, over the for the Super Bowl loser and the Super Bowl hangover. Well, this team is a loaded roster. And what you found out is whether it's Jordan Mason, whether it's Christian McCaffrey, when you have a dominant offensive line and you have a head coach who can scheme a run game the way Shanahan can, you don't need Christian McCaffrey to beat a team that's ill-prepared for you. And that's what happened in this game. And they got absolutely dominated. And this defense, right? And I still believe that this defense can be a top defense in this league. Maybe not the top. Maybe not even, you know, top two or three or top five. But a championship caliber defense. Well, they showed you none of that last night. Because championship caliber defenses do not allow 400 yards. Caliber ship, Super Bowl caliber defenses do not allow 8 straight possessions with points. That's all true. And the defense wasn't there. And they got absolutely manhandled. And you knew it early on. For me, that first touchdown drive by San Francisco, and they go up 13-7. And they get in the end zone despite consistently shooting themselves in the foot. You've got a 17-yard touchdown. Whoop, let's wipe it away with a penalty. They got a long third down conversion. Whoop, let's wipe that away with a penalty. And they kept just running the ball down the throats of this Jets defense. I could not believe how much they were manhandled up front. And we'll get into the pass rush and the inability to come close to Purdy, and that's absolutely part of the story. No doubt, and it's unacceptable to have that many dropbacks with that limited amount of pass rush, and that's obviously going to lead to the Hassan Reddick conversation. But to me, that's much secondary to the idea. I mean, you talk about how many yards that Mason ran for, and also through the tackle, not just on the outside, but up them. Like, they were just beat at the point of attack on every single play. And this defense has to get better, and this coach has got to do a better job of preparing them for this kind of opponent, because that's what, like, we could talk about it, and I agree with it. This is as difficult as an opponent as the Jets will face all year. This is a loaded roster who has nothing but top-round draft picks up front. They have an offensive line that, yes, has one of, if not the best left tackle in the sport, and then some names that you might not know, but overall, it's an incredible unit. The defensive front is as good as it gets. They probably have the best linebacker in the sport. They have an edge rusher who might win Defensive Player of the Year, and they are a loaded roster who has consistently got to the Super Bowl over the last handful of years. This is as good an opponent as there is in the NFL. And so to go week one on the road in San Francisco, we talked about it at the start of the week. For me, this was a game where if they ever found a way to go in and win this game, well, wow, now the Jets are something special. Now the Jets are worthy of the Super Bowl talk they've gotten. Now they are worthy of the AFC Championship talk they have received. But if they lose, hey, you went in and you played a tough opponent on the road. What are you going to do? And I lean that way other than they were completely manhandled with a unit that is supposed to be their bread and butter. We were waiting to see Aaron Rodgers. We're waiting to see some sort of actual NFL offense out of this franchise. But the defense is supposed to be its staple. And instead, you got embarrassed. There's no other way to put it. They were embarrassed last night. And we could talk about the coaching, and ultimately it's more about having the team prepared. And I know Shanahan's a great coach, and we could talk about the different elements of the run game. And ultimately, it's easy to coach when you are dominating up front, when you are dominating the point of attack. It's not hard. He could have called anything. They were just flat out better than the Jets at the point of attack. Just flat out better. And as frustrating as that is, and as disappointing as it is from a defensive unit and a defensive team that you have faith in, I still look at this game, and when I was thinking about what I wanted to see, what the Jets needed to see, it was Aaron Rodgers in this offense. And although it sputtered, I think is the word that Marco used in the update, and although they had a tough time building a rhythm, and although there were some dumb penalties, and there was a drop pass in the first drive of the game, and there was a fumble from Breece Hall, and you didn't exactly see this offense take flight necessarily, I saw Aaron Rodgers under center for the New York Jets, and I saw him look like Aaron Rodgers. I saw him make a back shoulder throw from the other hash mark to Garrett Wilson. Perfect. I saw him make a throw just over the defender's head to hit Lazard in stride down the sideline. I saw him hit Lazard in the end zone on a free play, which is his calling card. He looked like Aaron Rodgers. It wasn't necessarily maybe the best we've ever seen of Aaron Rodgers. It wasn't MVP Aaron Rodgers. He was a little rusty, running around. He didn't look exactly spry. He's probably going to have to either deal with that all year, or it'll come as the rust gets knocked off, having not played for over a year and having to deal with an Achilles injury. But this offense at times, I mean, that touchdown drive is about as good as we have seen this offense play in years. And we saw what weapon and what kind of player Garrett Wilson can be if given the opportunity. And we've seen what this offense can do. They went down the field and put it in the end zone. And I'm disappointed in the way they played defensively, and I'm not going to go nuts about the way they played offensively. And I thought they were ready to hang. I thought they were ready to hang with the 49ers. I thought they were ready to hang with the Chiefs after Thursday. I was talking about it. Who's the team that can beat Kansas City? Why not the Jets? Well, right now, what we did learn about the New York Jets is, as of today, they are not ready to hang with the best teams in the NFL. That doesn't mean they can't get there. And ultimately, what I needed from this game, as we talk about how difficult the opponent is and moving forward, I understand that no game is easy in the NFL. I get it. And with the way they were run upon, now you just look at the run game of other teams. You look at how Pollard played better than they thought in Tennessee in week one. Now there's that running game, and we got this running game. And anyway, now that's the blueprint to beat the Jets, which I think is such an overdramatic reaction. We always talk about like one game, and suddenly there's a blueprint to beat the New York Jets. They got dominated by one of the best fronts in football. They got dominated by one of the best rosters in the sport. They got dominated by a team that consistently takes long runs into the postseason and makes it to Super Bowls. They got dominated by one of, if not the most talented roster in the sport. That doesn't mean this defense can't improve, and it has to. Don't get me wrong, it has to. But as you start to see the schedule ease up, and as the team does knock off this rust, and as now you actually saw Aaron Rodgers under center for the New York Jets, he made it through the game healthy. We saw him get hit a little bit and bounce up. We saw him get hit, continue to have the drive. We saw him play football for the New York Jets, come out healthy and look like Aaron Rodgers. Sure, the defense has to be better. And sure, this defensive line without Hassan Reddick, and I'm not sure how much Hassan Reddick helps in this game, let's be honest. They lost 32-19. What do they do with Hassan Reddick in this game? Lose 28-19? He's not going to help them much in the run game. This is a guy who, the knock on him was he sack happy. He's a straight up edge rusher, get after the quarterback, which they didn't do last night, and they need to do better, no doubt. But they got manhandled. They got absolutely manhandled. And it's a frustrating way to lose. And when you went into this game, the expectations were high, and certainly for this defense, it was a given. It was an afterthought. They should be able to keep it close. No McCaffrey. And I think what you've learned here, too, and this is a side note, what you've learned in the NFL, and this isn't to, you know, defend the Giants yet again on the Saquon Barkley decision, but what I think you've learned here is if you have an offensive line and you have a coach who knows how to scheme a run game, as much as Christian McCaffrey in the big moments and the big plays can help, you know, make a game-breaking play or be someone who can turn, you know, something into nothing, but the difference between an undrafted backup running back and the best in the league is a hell of a lot less than we think. And if you can scheme it and you can block it, you don't need Saquon Barkley. You don't need Christian McCaffrey. You can do just fine dominating one of the better defenses in the league with Jordan Mason. And that's not to make an excuse for them. They got absolutely pounded. But if you run hard and you block it up and your coach can scheme it like Shanahan can, you can win a hell of a lot of football games with Jordan Mason. So before we make all these declarative statements that the coach sucks and he can't coach, and it's a major problem for this team. Before we make declarative statements like this defense will never get it right, and before we make all these declarative statements of what we know after week one in the NFL with a quarterback who's 40 years old, coming off an Achilles and not playing for a year, what we know about the New York Jets is right now they're not capable of beating the San Francisco 49ers, and that was painfully obvious. And if they played the Kansas City Chiefs tomorrow, they're probably not capable of playing the Kansas City Chiefs. But the beauty of this is they don't have to do it today, and yesterday's loss doesn't kill them. And now they have to get what they need to get and figure out how to improve this defensive line. And yeah, listen, I'm pissed off at the coach. He not only did he not have his players ready, but he gets dominated in the first half. And I told you that first touchdown drive, I knew it was going to be a problem. Everyone did. I'm not telling you, you know, I figured it out. But that first touchdown drive and what they did in the first half was obvious how they were going to attack the New York Jets. And then they come out in the first drive of the second half and do exactly the same thing and go right down the field. It's a major indictment on this coach. He had a terrible game. The defense had a terrible game, 400 yards of offense, time of possession damn near 40 minutes. It's difficult to get an offensive rhythm going when you're on the field for half the time as your opponent. What we do know is this Jet team has got to get better. And what we do know is right now, despite us maybe thinking so, and despite guys like me maybe thinking so, week one, they're not ready to play the San Francisco 49ers. But a season isn't made in week one. Not when you have Aaron Rodgers. And not when you have Aaron Rodgers looking like Aaron Rodgers. So I know a lot of you, because the Jets will be the Jets, and you expected better, and this defense was supposed to be a given, and they got embarrassed, that we're going to run right to this is what the Jets are going to be. They're not very good. They're already last place in the division. All the stuff, the nonsense we will hear. This Jet team is good. This Jet team is talented. And this Jet team does have a Hall of Fame quarterback who looked at times like himself last night. He made it through the game healthy. He played relatively well. And he showed glimpses of what he can be. That's what we learned. We learned the Jets have a quarterback that can stay healthy through a game. We learned the defense needs massive improvements. And we learned that the San Francisco 49ers are flat out better than the New York Jets. But that's where it ends. And we have a lot more to learn over the next 17 weeks, 16 games. 888-808-1019. So relax. This is not Daniel Jones proving he's Daniel Jones. This is not welcoming in the Minnesota Vikings and getting your ass kicked. This is going to the road into San Francisco, into the belly of the beast of one of the best teams in the sport, and realizing you don't measure up. And I heard the post-game talk about it. I've heard different people talk about it since. Maybe it's a wake-up call for this franchise who might have believed too much, who might have thought they could just lay their helmets on the field with Aaron Rodgers and go beat anybody. And they recognized last night that when you line up with the best teams in the NFL, you best bring your A game. And they were a million miles from it last night. It doesn't mean they can't find it. I saw the things I needed to see. I needed to see Aaron Rodgers could play the game. I needed to see glimpses of this quarterback and this offense actually functioning. And I saw it. I didn't see enough of it, namely because their defense didn't allow it. But I'm coming out of this game a little bit more positive, or at least not as dynamically, you know, deranged and disappointed as most Jet fans probably will be. Defense was awful. They had the game run down their throat. They gave up 400 yards, and they gave up scores on 8 straight possessions. That's losing football in any way, shape, or form. But it's one night, and it's against the best team they will play all year long. And it's a game they can learn from, a game they can improve from. And this is game one of a 2-year project that started a year late. Let's hang in there and have some faith. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. Of course, we got Pennant Race Baseball. As the Mets are now secure, alone as the third wild card, as they took care of their game, and obviously Cincinnati took care of the Atlanta Braves. The Yankees are now a game and a half clear as Jason Dominguez was called up. He's here. The Yankees take care of the Royals, and in my opinion, my favorite start from Carlos Rodon of the entire season. And a start that makes me feel like maybe, just maybe, I'm starting to trust him come playoff time. 888-808-1019. So we got plenty to talk there. If you want to mix in your Daniel Jones hate, by the way, go ahead. We can always have that giant talk. And by the way, Brett in Long Island, didn't hear from you yesterday, bud. And I wouldn't be calling you out if so many of your fans on Twitter are asking me where you were. So I'm just, I want to know. I'm sure you're still sleeping at 221, but maybe we'll hear from some of the Daniel Jones lovers who might have something to say. But we start with your Jet phone calls, 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan, rocking and rolling with you all the way to 5 o'clock in the morning in the warm-up show right here on The Fan.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Manning calling signal, takes the snap, looks left, pops it up, first wide open, touchdown Giants, in the left corner of the end zone.
Touchdown.
With 35 seconds to go, the Giants regain the lead.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 227. McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. Me and Rami hanging out with you until 5 o'clock. So, yeah, look, I'm not trying to take any, you know, blame off of last night or any, you know, I mean, that defensive performance was hideous. I don't think anyone would argue or say different. And the coaching staff's inability to have this team ready to go and then make adjustments at halftime is a problem. I think that's been probably the fan base's biggest concern with this group. Obviously, I mean, however you feel about Rodgers, whether he's too old, whether he's washed up, whether he can get hurt, I'm sure that's a, you know, whether we will get hurt again or whatever the case may be, I'm sure that's a probably numero uno just because, you know, the season can't exist or function without him. But I would say the biggest concern outside of Aaron Rodgers not being able to stay healthy or being washed has got to be this head coach. That's what I hear from the most Jet fans. They don't trust the coach. He's been brutal. Look at his record. Not a leader of men. And I agree, he's had, you know, some interesting decisions. And I don't think he's shown you anything that would prove that he is a good head coach. And I think his handling of the Mike White situation and allowing the team to throw freaking parties, that he went to a backup quarterback when it's Mike White and at any moment you'd have to go back to Zach Wilson, was a hideous job of keeping a group together. But again, he's never been given a real opportunity to win with the quarterbacks he's been handed. So I just don't know. So for me, a lot of this year is going to be finding out what kind of coach the Jets have. And game one, F. No doubt about it, game one, F. The defense wasn't there. His run defense that, you know, I guess he told Troy Aikman that if they want to stop the run, they can stop the run. Well, I guess they didn't want to last night. I don't know if that's the defensive game plan. We'll just let them run it down our throat because why not? I mean, they had zero chance of stopping the run. Zero. I mean, on every play, I was shocked. Like, people are talking about how Shanahan outcoached them, and clearly because, I mean, they dominated the football game. But I think Shanahan, on two separate occasions, was an idiot for kicking field goals. You got a two-score lead, fourth and two on your own, like, five or whatever it was, six, seven, eight-yard line. Why the hell are you not trying to score a touchdown? You've run it down their throat left and right. You've gotten more than 2 yards on every single carry in this game. Why in the world don't you try to... Why are you changing a 13-point game to a 16-point game? Why are you changing a two-score lead to a two-score lead? Like, it made no sense to me. I didn't think Shanahan coached that well in this game. Other than his team was more prepared, and he did game up one hell of a run scheme with a backup running back. But like, I thought in two separate occasions, he was an idiot for kicking field goals. Idiot. But... Coach, game one, F. Quarterback, game one, solid B. Defense, game one, F. But again, this was the toughest grader that they will face all year. This was the biggest test they had all year, and they failed it. And they were nowhere near ready to compete with a team of this ilk. Just were nowhere near ready. But it's week one, and it's the first game of the Aaron Rodgers experience, 2 years in. I hate when we start making declarative statements. And if you're going to call me a hypocrite because I was kind of saying that yesterday with the Giants, to me, it is a world of a different situation. This was not Daniel Jones' first game as the Giant quarterback. I've seen Daniel Jones play. And this wasn't, the Minnesota Vikings aren't the San Francisco 49ers. Maybe we were all wrong to think they could compete, because they couldn't. Next week is a different opponent, a different week, and they'll be road favorites. They're coming home, I'm sorry, right? Double check that. I know they're playing Tennessee.
They're in Tennessee.
They're in. That's what I said. Sometimes I say things and I'm like, oh, wait, am I right? I am right. They're going to be road favorites against Tennessee, I would think. Let's get to the calls. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here.
4.5-point favorites.
There, well, 4.5?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 4.5-point favorites. Seth in Queens. What's up, Seth? Seth, what are you in, a driving rainstorm? What's going on?
Yeah, what's going, pal? I'm on the LIE.
All right. Is it raining on the LIE?
Nah, just,
it sounded like rain on a roof. Good.
What do you think about the Giants trading for, like, a guy like Trey Lance or something like that? I know it was interdivision.
Yeah.
But the Eagles and Redskins just did that, too. And they buried number three on their depth chart also.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't think it's a terrible idea, because if you can get all the terrible quarterbacks in the league on your team, it would probably be some kind of record, and maybe the league would like feel bad for you and give you some sort of advantage, because like I can't imagine doing anything to hinder a quarterback room that has Drew Lock, Tommy DeVito, and Daniel Jones. But if you want to add Trey Lance to it, I suppose you could make it worse if you tried.
I mean, they haven't given him a shot, really. I mean,
no, because there's a reason.
Like,
there's a reason they traded for him, and now he's third on the depth chart. Like, there's a reason they traded for him. He's got they put value next to him, and they still buried him. What does that tell you?
Not a bad point. Not a bad point.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Seth, I appreciate the phone call. I really what made it like to not be there for the first 30 seconds, and then to give me the Trey Lance thing. I mean. Perfection. No, I don't want Trey Lance. I understand Daniel Jones sucks. I understand I want to see almost anybody else play besides him. And there's been, if we're going to get into it here for a second, we can. I literally said my eyes are bleeding watching Daniel Jones play. I can't watch him anymore. He's terrible. I've been anti-Daniel Jones for a long time, even when he was winning. I didn't love him. And when the news came that he wanted $40 million, I'll never forget it. Me and Craig, I was working for Carton and Roberts. Me and Craig were in his office when we first saw the story, and both of us just blurted out laughing. I was laughing when the reports came that he wanted and was going to be seeking $40 million a year. I laughed. And he ended up getting it, so the joke's on me. But I can't bench him now. I've made it the year of Daniel Jones. I know how terrible he was. I get it. And as much as I don't want him to play, they don't have a legitimate option here. Could Drew Lock go out there and possibly be better? I suppose. Could Tommy DeVito? Yeah, okay, maybe. But I've set this up to be the year of Daniel Jones. They're paying him $40 million. I can't bench him after one bad game. This season, at least. I can't. I have to see more. I have to give him 2, 3, 4 games. I have to. It's the year of Daniel Jones. That's out of the GM's mouth. Like, I can't just give, I can't pull the plug on it now. Eventually, I can't go the whole year. But the Giants have won some games with Daniel Jones, as crazy as that sounds. And the Giants did go to a playoff game with Daniel Jones, as bizarre as that feels coming out of my mouth. But, like, I can't bench him for Drew Lock a game in. I can't bench him for Tommy DeVito a game in. Like, I have to see more than one game off of a season-ending knee injury. Like, I just have to do more than that. Not much more, but the amount of people clamoring for him to be benched, and the idea that Brian Daboll even has to say he's our quarterback is laughable. But he's their quarterback. They made that decision. They paid him $40 million. They went out. They didn't go out in the offseason and get anybody to really battle for his replacement. Like, Drew Lock is not a legitimate replacement.
Wasn't for lack of trying, though.
I mean, well, yeah, they tried to move up and just completely replace him. Yeah, but they didn't bring in anybody who could even compete with him. But, yeah, I mean, I wish. That's why, you know, I don't want to get into all the games they should have lost. It bothers me. All you Giant fans who are now screaming how Daniel Jones sucks, you're all the same people screaming at me saying, how could you want them to lose games? Because I can't watch this anymore. That's why. Because I can't watch this anymore. But I have to watch it next week. I have to. And I have to probably watch it the week after that. But I'll tell you, he has traditionally played well against Washington. Even when they've been at their worst, he's found ways to win games against the Commanders or the Washington Football Club or whatever else they've been called. If he goes out there and is awful again next week, and he is what everybody is clamoring, that he is broken, that he is mentally, just mentally broken, he has zero confidence in himself. And you watch the footage, it's even worse the day later. Like, it's the leftover, the cold Daniel Jones out of the refrigerator is even worse. Like, those leftovers, you can't even put it in your, you can't even lift it to your mouth. It's just watching the video, watching all the clips of his footwork, watching the play, watching that third down where he throws it behind the tight end. I mean, it's just so bad. So bad. The amount of layups he missed that just could have sustained drives. I mean, you watch it now, and we talked about it after the postgame. They talked about it on the postgame. I talked about it last night. Like, we talked about the idea of Flores having a game plan of dink and dunk me. Go ahead. I don't trust that you guys can sustain drives to get down the field. Right? We talked about that. And then you really go back and you watch the All-22, or you watch some of these clips put on social media, and you see why. He can't make the easiest of throws. His performance was even worse than I thought it was a day removed. Even worse than I thought it was. He gives them... It's just... what a miserable situation. To the point where the first caller of the show wants to trade for Trey Lance. That's where we are. Trey Lance seems like a better option right now. I mean, to some. Craig Imadawan, what's up, Craig?
Hey, Chris. I love the show. Love talking to you.
Thank you.
Listen, that caller... First of all, you want to add another quarterback to the island of misfit quarterbacks that we have already. At the end of the day, you have to live and die at this point with Daniel Jones. First of all, Tommy DeVito, Tommy Cutlets, two words for you, Jeremy Lin. How did that work out? Okay?
Yeah.
You have no choice but to live and die with Daniel Jones and hope to God he does not get hurt. And he's on that roster next year.
Right.
And he's out for the year.
Well, that's why, but yeah, but you call the time of death very early in the season, though. Like, that's the one thing. I agree with you. I think you ride this thing. You live and die with Daniel Jones this year, but you are willing to call the death at, you know, 1-5.
No.
That's it. You're 5 or 6 weeks in. If it's bad, it's the death of a season, and you're bringing in somebody else because I don't care. I don't love tanking. By no means do I want to tank the season, but I am a proponent of in the NFL. It benefits the team too much to ignore. And, you know, but even beyond losing games and getting a better draft pick, the one thing that cannot happen. Is Daniel Jones to have a season-ending injury and guarantee his money for next year. It cannot happen.
Exactly.
It cannot happen.
At the end of the day, if you're 1-5, I'm sorry. They did more damage winning those games last year than they did good.
No doubt.
If you're 1-5, you might as well run. They can't even lose right.
Right.
Like, seriously. I mean, if you're going to...
Me and you agree, but a lot of people don't. A lot of people tell you the wins in this league are precious,
then,
and I understand.
They're not true fans, then. They're not true fans. Why would you want to see your team win a meaningless game that's going to hurt you in the long run? It's the same thing. I'm sorry. When Diaz hurt himself in the baseball classic, okay? Meaningless game. In the long run, it hurt the Mets. It is what it is. Same. It's kind of the same concept. You're rooting for your team to win. I understand you don't want them to lose. But by winning, you're dampering yourself for the future. What are you going to win, 3 games? Did they make the playoffs? No.
No.
If they had a chance to make the playoffs, it's a different story. You have no chance.
Another thing,
that whole argument you said with Saquon Barkley, another reason they shouldn't have paid him. They don't have, with a good offensive line, Johnny Watts from Brooklyn or Mattawan can run for 1,000 yards.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, listen, I don't know about 1,000 yards, but you just saw what an undrafted backup running back can do if you have a good offensive line, you have a good coach scheming up a good game plan. I totally agree with you. Saquon Barkley had some good seasons here. You're going to see what he can do with a real offensive line and a good scheme. Like, it's the difference in run, and this is why the running back position has been devalued at such a level, and this is why they can't get paid. This is why, because it's a young man's game. They get hurt first and foremost, and second of all, the difference, it's really true. Look at the difference between Jordan Mason and Christian McCaffrey. How much better could Christian McCaffrey have done? Maybe he breaks one. He broke a 17-yard touchdown and got called back for a penalty. Like, how much better would Christian McCaffrey have done in that situation? Like, how many more rushing yards would he have? If you can block it and you can scheme it, you can have, I mean, you don't want a terrible slow running back, but if you have a decent running back who knows your system, knows you could teach and train and scheme up and block, you can have a good running game. You do not need a world-class talent touched by the hand of God destined for the gold jacket. Like, you don't need that kind of running back to win. You don't. It's a luxury if your roster is already at the top notch. That's why, as much as we'll talk about Saquon Barkley, he's an extremely talented player. He's a game-breaking player. The Giants made a horrendous decision drafting him second overall. Their roster was nowhere near good enough to support that. It wasn't. It just wasn't. But, like, you could see what it just any you could nobody knew who Jordan Mason was heading into the day. You have to be a fantasy guy reading Deep Sleeper articles to get Jordan Mason. And yet he dominated a football game against a team that we all think is probably a playoff team. Dominated. Bruce in Brooklyn. What's up, Bruce?
How you doing, Chris?
Good. How are you?
I think I'm great. Well, I'm not that great, but I'm good.
Okay.
But whatever little bit of power the Giants offense ever had basically came from Saquon Barkley. And now that he's gone, the Giants have, like, the softest offense in the league. And I think this week they really need to prove that they can still run the ball without Saquon.
Mm-hmm.
Singletary has to have a big week. The line has to open up some holes. And Daniel Jones just has to relax and try to get his confidence back. Because that's what he was all about, basically, confidence. That's why everyone was saying, if only this, if only that. Because he played with a lot of confidence. And he, you know, that's why he had a lot of turnovers. Because he, you know, he always thought he could, I don't know. That's the way I feel. They've got to establish the running game.
Yeah, well, of course. I mean, I agree with the first half of your statement. I don't know how much confidence Daniel Jones exuded at any point in his career. But I do agree with you that they have to establish the run game. And if they can, I don't think the run game disappears because they lost Saquon Barkley. Singletary is not nearly as good a running back, but you can have a run game with him. If you block it up and you scheme it up and you can have, here's the problem though. No one's going to trust the quarterback. It's going to be hard to run the football when they stack the box and say, beat us, Daniel Jones. It's going to be very difficult. That's the problem. And honestly, I mean, Your point about the weakest offense, I mean, even when Saquon Barkley was running the ball well, they didn't have a good offense even when they were winning. Even
no,
on the year they went to the playoffs, they went a full calendar year without scoring 30 points. Like, they are, they've right. never had a good offense under Daniel Jones, ever.
Yeah, and Daniel Jones just looked like a broken man.
No, I mean, that's the thing. He looks broken. He looks broken. And I've been saying this a lot. The day they hired Shane and Dable at the press conferences, the owner made an accurate statement. And he said, we've done everything to ruin Daniel Jones. That's what he said. And he's 100% right. And he pointed to the different amount of offensive coordinators. And he talked about the different amount of head coaches and all the different things that have ruined Daniel Jones. And he's not wrong. The Giants did Daniel Jones no favors. But to me, if you have the wisdom to recognize that you ruined a quarterback, and you're willing to say that publicly, when you ruined a quarterback, the lesson shouldn't be, let me get someone in here who can unruin him. There is no unruining. The lesson shouldn't be, let me get a coach in here, someone in here who can help unruin Daniel Jones. The thought process should be, let me learn from this and never ruin another young quarterback again. You can't unruin things. And instead of moving on and saying, we'll learn from this mistake, let's get Brian Daboll, let's get an offensive coach in here, let's give this guy time to develop a young quarterback and move on from Daniel Jones because we ruined him. Instead, it was, hey, we've been really unfair to Daniel Jones, and we ruined him, and we deserve to give him a good chance. He deserves a more stable home. Instead of moving on and saying, we ruined this kid, let's not ruin the next one. And it's a cold business. That's how it works. It is a cold, cold business. And you can't have sentimentality creep in into your decision making. And it feels like the Giants were sentimental about Daniel Jones. Now, I know he went out there that year and he did what he always does. And you watching the highlights yesterday, my God, he doesn't get off his first read. This is year six. Watch that. Watch the film from go. You don't have to buy the NFL Plus and watch the All 22. There's plenty of people putting it out on Twitter. Just search Daniel Jones on Twitter and a bunch of videos will pop up. Watch him. He stared. The interception in the end zone was embarrassing. He stares down the receiver. He doesn't go through progressions. And if that receiver isn't open and he's uncomfortable throwing it, he tucks it and runs. That's all he does. He has been, it's just, you can't win with that kind of quarterback play. You can't. Cannot. I don't think the Vikings are very good, honestly. I really don't. I don't think they're very good. I think their defensive backfield is a mess. I know their coach had some words about Brian Daboll, and I'm sure that was something for him. I talked about that, too, the other day. Like, this is a coach who came into the league the same year as Brian Daboll. He won 13 games with the Vikings that year. Then Brian Daboll came in, kicked his ass, knocked him out of the playoffs, and then won coach of the year. So he relished in the idea of being able to say, we were the better coach team after the game. And he's 100% right. They absolutely were. But he relished in that fact. But I heard Keith, talking about it, and I've heard other people call him the quarterback, whisperer or whatever. He turned Kirk Cousins into a 500 quarterback who can't play in the playoffs. That's what he's been his whole career. What did he do with Cousins? He gave him the best wide receiver in the league and turned Kirk Cousins into a quarterback who wins, a good portion of his games and then can't win the big one. That's what Kirk Cousins has been his whole life. And now we got a decent game. He got a decent first half out of Sam Darnold. We'll see what the Vikings are. I don't think they're very good, but we'll see. Maybe they'll surprise me. I think they beat up on a team that just is inept in every way. And that's the difference for me. I watched these two games. Like, the Jets have promise. Their defense got overrun by the 49ers, no doubt. But Aaron Rodgers is their quarterback, and he looked like Aaron Rodgers. Like, honestly, if you had to come out, like, if they would have lost the game two separate ways, right? Like, there's A loss and B loss. And the A loss is what happened last night, where they just were completely dominated by a San Francisco 49ers team. The offensive line dominated the defensive front. They run the ball down their throat. They had time of possession of damn near 2-1. They ran 70-something plays to your 40-something plays. They scored on 8 straight possessions. Your defense, which you believe in, had a miserable night and got dominated by one of the best offenses and one of the best rosters, and one of the best offensive-minded coaches in the NFL. That's loss A. And then there's loss B, where Christian McCaffrey's loss and injury really impacted the 49ers' run game. And the 49ers couldn't get anything going. And they couldn't move it offensively. And they punted to you in time of possessions even. And Aaron Rodgers looked like dog crap. And he looked like a 40-year-old guy who could barely move, didn't make any of his signature throws. The Jets' offense still sputtered and couldn't get anything going. And they were beat 14-6. Which one of those losses would have been worse to deal with this morning? And for me, there's no question. I am glad they lost A. Now, they still lost, and no one's given them a reward for it. But I believe that, you know, the defense, as much as it's not the 85 Bears, and it has its moments where it's broken and it's bended and it's not come through in the clutch and it's cost them games, no doubt, it's still a top-quality defense, or at least it has been in previous seasons under Robert Saleh. I would have more faith in trying to get a better defensive performance moving forward. I would have more faith in that group rebounding from an embarrassing loss to the 49ers. I would have more faith that that unit can figure it out as opposed to if the offense continued to look like crap. Now, they didn't dominate by any stretch, but they barely had the ball, and from what I saw, Aaron Rodgers looked like Aaron Rodgers. I'm just going to take it. I'm going to say, you know what? That's the goal. The goal is the San Francisco 49ers. They kicked our ass. Maybe we'll see them again. But the Giants are in a position where the roster isn't very good. The quarterback is an absolute mess. The defense allowed 12 straight completions to Sam Darnold. And they were outclassed in their own building, getting booed at halftime by the Minnesota Vikings. Like, there is a difference here. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. We could talk a little baseball as we get through the show as well. As the Mets and Yankees both win, both gain ground on the Atlanta Braves and the Baltimore Orioles, their foes, respectively. And for me, pitching has been the story of both of these teams. And last night, no different. 888-808-1019. But of course, the Martian is up for the New York Yankees. We've got to talk a little. Got to talk a little. Jason Dominguez. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on the Fan.